voice of God is calling its summons in our day. And let us hear what the Word of God has to say to us today as we take our instruction from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And here is what is found written in Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I beheld my Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the skirts of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs stood in attendance on him. Each of them had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his legs, and with two he would fly. And one would call to the other, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord of hosts. His presence fills all the earth." The doorposts would shake at the sound of the one who called, and the house kept filling with smoke. I cried, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my own eyes have beheld the King, Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew over to me with a live coal, which he had taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. He touched it to my lips and declared, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt shall depart, your sin be purged away." Then I heard the voice of my Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider what this text offers us, I want to talk this morning a little bit about what it is to be prepared to serve. What it is to be prepared to serve. We live in a world where second chances rarely come. The world we live in is highly competitive, and the idea is to be prepared when opportunity knocks. In the world of sports, athletes line the benches of teams waiting for their chance to play, hoping that when they get their chance, they are prepared, that the work they've put in will pay off. The Boy Scouts of America have made it their motto, reminding each other to be prepared. And with those words, they express the need to always be ready. But there's a distinct difference between being ready for anything and being made ready to serve. In one sense, being prepared means being set and ready to handle any and everything that might come our way. In that sense, being prepared is anticipatory. We look forward to the idea that something might happen, and we need to be ready to deal with it. But in another sense, being prepared indicates a willingness to accept the unknown, trusting that we will become equipped to do whatever the job calls for. The first is dormant and waiting. The second is active and moving. If we understand the words of Isaiah, then clearly Isaiah was not prepared in the sense that he was all set and ready to go. On the other hand, he was being prepared as God moved in his life to get him ready. In this brief story of Isaiah's encounter with God, it is clear that he is experiencing God in a way that he had never experienced God before. Isaiah is sure about the political reality of his day. This reality and time in which he is now experienced this somehow odd spiritual phenomenon. According to Isaiah, it was in the year that King Uzziah died. Uzziah had reigned in Judah for 52 years, and besides Jehoshaphat, was among the most prosperous rulers in Judah since the reign of Solomon. But in the latter years of his rule, Uzziah had become arrogant and willful and disobeyed God. And when he died alone, stricken with leprosy and driven from the house of God until his death. Uzziah's death would mean new leadership for Judah. And here stands Isaiah in the temple. He is perhaps thinking about what this change might mean for God's people when he captures a vision of God sitting on the throne. Now, this is truly a powerful spiritual experience for him. He sees visions of seraphs surrounding the throne as they gave praise to God. But it's in that moment that Isaiah becomes aware of the vast difference between the holiness of God and the unworthy nature of himself. He's aware that he wasn't prepared for what he's experiencing. He's aware of his shortcomings and claims them not just for himself, but for his people. He confesses his sins before his God and the seraphs, who act only at God's commands, and they fly to Isaiah with a live coal and touch his lips and tell him that because the coal touched his lips, he has been forgiven. His guilt has left him and his sin was blotted out. And God speaks, not to Isaiah, but speaks in general. God asks a question: whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah's response was both simple and direct. He said, "Here I am, send me." Here I am, send me. At first, it might seem like Isaiah was volunteering, that he had stepped forward with willingness of heart and mind to take on a task that he knew absolutely nothing about. But I'm convinced that's not the answer. I believe that there's another reason that points to all of us. And I believe it's about what God does for us and what a powerful and proper response to our God is. And it's not the V word, as in volunteer. I believe what Isaiah did, he did on GP, not general principle, but G for gratitude and P for preparedness. You see, brothers and sisters, nothing will ever be more memorable in our lives than a living experience with the living God. Nothing. If you've ever been in the presence of God, if you've ever been blessed to break through that veil and stand in the presence of God, you will never, ever forget it. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. I've experienced something very similar to Isaiah's experience. For me, it wasn't the year that King Uzziah died. That was long before I got here. But it was the year that I graduated from the University of Kansas. It was the year that I was given new life. It was the year that I had a living encounter with the living God. It was the year I began to bargain with God about my life, about my future, about God's call upon my life, and about how unprepared I was to serve. It was the year I began running from God. I don't believe there is anything more memorable in our lives than a personal encounter with the reality of the living God. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are things that happen in the lives of all of us that are memorable. Somebody say amen. You see, some of us can still remember with clarity where we were and what we were doing the day that President John Fitzgerald Kennedy was assassinated. Some of us remember with equal clarity when Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated and when Princess Diana died. There will be events in our lives that become hallmarks of remembrance for us. Our children's birth, our marriages, our first crush, our forever love, our graduation from high school, our college, or even the day that the Twin Towers fell on 9/11. But as important as those events might be, there will never be a greater moment of remembrance in our lives than when we have a real spiritual encounter with the living God. There's just nothing in our lives that can beat an experience in which God's presence becomes real to us. If God removes the veil of the spiritual world to show God's self and speak to us, we will remember it. If God allows us access into the world of God's powerful spirit so that we might have a living encounter with God, it will outdo any and everything else in our lives. Nothing can prepare us for it. And there are no early warning signs to prepare us to encounter the holy presence of God. God is too awesome for us to truly comprehend. But nothing will ever, I repeat, nothing will ever be more memorable in our lives than a living experience, an encounter with the living and true God. And yet it's that personal experience with the living God that starts the process where God prepares us to serve. Now, maybe we missed it. Maybe we get so caught up in the story that we missed it today. But Isaiah's story is really no different from our story. Isaiah went through the process like everyone else who encounters God. We first encounter God in all of God's holiness, and we're compelled to acknowledge that we're unworthy. We begin to understand just how far away from the holiness of God we really are. It's not something that we can alter or change. It's not something that we can become aware of on our own. It just happens. We become aware of our shortcomings and all of the places in our being where we don't measure up to God's holiness. We become aware of our weaknesses and those things that keep us from standing in the presence of God without blemish. We become aware of our humanity and how great the distance is from the flesh and blood of our world to the spiritual reality of God's world, and we find that we are so lacking. But it's not just that we become aware of our shortcomings. It's not that we acknowledge our sins. It's that we find ourselves confessing those things before God. It's realizing that we can't stand before our holy God justified while clothed with the stains of guilt and sin upon us. We have to humbly acknowledge those places in our lives where we fall short, knowing that we can never acknowledge all of them. We have to admit that the relationship between us and our God is broken, not because of something that God did, but because of all of the things we do. And then we confess. Perhaps that's why the psalmist David, acknowledging the state of his own human condition before God, found himself pardoned, his sin and his guilt taken away. And he later wrote, "Then I acknowledge my sin to you. I did not cover up my guilt. I resolved, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." Psalm 34, verse 5. David wrote that he acknowledged his sin. before God. Maybe that's where the expression came from, that confession is good for the soul. That I don't know. But what I do know is this. Confession, honest confession, establishes a relationship with God by which God can justify us and make our situation right again. You see, friends, it's in our lack of readiness that God begins the process of preparing us to serve. It's in our confession and admission that we are qualified for God's service, that God steps forward to bridge that gap between our inability and God's ability. It's our attitude of humility that then allows us to become righteous in God's sight. As sinful as Isaiah was, it was God who offered the cleansing that would make him whole again. It was the God who provided the means to take away his guilt and his sin. And it's no different from us. Isaiah's lips were touched by the burning coal from the altar of God. We've been touched by the precious blood of the Lamb that has taken away our guilt and sin. And because Christ has taken away our sins, we've been prepared and placed in a position to serve God. But the process doesn't end with our cleansing. It doesn't stop with our sanctification. The process isn't completed once our guilt and our sins are taken away. We aren't prepared to serve until our response is like that of Isaiah's, and we express our willingness to serve God, saying, "Here I am, send me." And that preparedness to serve isn't born out of a sense of volunteerism, as if we're doing God a favor by taking something on. The preparedness to serve is born first out of a sense of gratitude, that we are grateful because God has chosen to set us free from guilt and sin out of God's compassion and mercy. That preparedness is born out of a sense of gratitude and a willingness to then do whatever God wants us to do. It's a faithful response to God, who by grace has sanctified us and prepared us for service to the Almighty. It's our humble gratitude to God that compels us to willingly say to our God, in the words of Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." It's that attitude that moves us from the desert of unwillingness, where instead of saying to ourselves and everyone else, "Well, I have to do this," or "I have to do that," but puts in us a spiritual attitude of preparedness and gratitude, with which we say with these words, "I get to serve God." That attitude is one of gratitude for the honor and the opportunity to serve God. That attitude is one of thanksgiving for the privilege of serving God. You see, friends, we're never truly prepared to serve God until we are at that point in our lives when, out of gratitude, we're willing to go wherever God will send us to do whatever God would have us to do. When we get to that place in our lives, then, like Isaiah, we are prepared to serve. Prepared in heart, prepared in mind, prepared in soul, prepared in spirit, but most importantly, prepared by God. It's hard for us to offer God's grace to others if we aren't aware that we've received it ourselves. But then therein lies the issue with a lot of people. So many people live each day and take God's grace for granted. Too many people are living like the 10 lepers who received a blessing and a healing from Jesus, but then 9 of them never turned back to thank God for the blessing, but rather went on each day, never expressing their willingness to serve God for however God would use them. Only the one turned back to give thanks. So many people are only willing to offer God what they want rather than offering to be prepared by God for whatever God would have them do. And I know, because I was one of them. When God said to me what God wanted me to do for the sake of the ministry of Jesus Christ, I was quick to tell God no. Rather than say to God, here I am, send me, I was quick to get to the bargaining table and tell God what I was willing to do. I said, I'd be more than happy to sing or to play. I say, I'll play my flute, which at that time was my instrument of choice. I was willing to serve God on my terms, but not on the terms that God would set forth. I was willing to do what I wanted to do, but not to place myself in a position to be prepared. I was unprepared to be prepared for the service God was calling me to, but I ultimately said, yes, Lord, here I am, use me. And then God prepared me. And understand, brothers and sisters, I'm not the first to try negotiations with God. Somebody say amen. Moses was unprepared when he was called to go to the Pharaoh and say, let my people go. Moses had his excuses. I don't speak so well. Jeremiah was unprepared when he was called to preach God's word. He was unprepared and told God, I'm just a boy. Jeremiah had his excuses, but God said, I can use you. You go and do what I do and tell people what I tell you to say and you'll be all right. And Jeremiah went. And even Paul, then Saul, had his idea of how he wanted to serve God on his own terms. And isn't that the same story of those who were invited to come to the wedding banquet in Jesus' parable? One man went away to his farm and the other went away to work in his business because they were unprepared and unwilling to do what God had called them to do. And the reality is we've all been unprepared and made excuses for not serving God when God has called us to serve and service. We've all been unprepared, stating all of the reasons why we don't want to do it and can't bring ourselves to do it and don't feel qualified to do it and are too busy to do it and are unwilling to serve. But that's not the model of ministry that Isaiah puts on the table for us. That's not the image of someone who is prepared to serve when God calls us to do whatever God calls us to do. You see, brothers and sisters, the reality is when we're called to serve, we're called to serve for a purpose. And that's why the scripture says, give me a second. There is a scripture that says, like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. But no service can be of value unless it is undertaken with a willingness to do it. And with the willingness to serve comes the preparation from God to make us ready to do that service. It has been my experience that God will not call us to do anything that God will not prepare us to undertake. So preparing to serve is nothing more than the willingness to stand before God as Isaiah did and say, here I am, Lord, send me. It's opening ourselves up to the power of God to prepare us by that power to accomplish whatever act of service God is calling us to do. Our service may not meet the notoriety of the prophet Isaiah. Being prepared to serve by God may not win us a Nobel Prize or win us any of the other worldly accolades. But when it's all over, it may allow all of us, those of us who have been prepared to serve and hear the words of our Christ say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. And then allow us to win our crown of gold. And that's God's plan for us and is the word of God for the people of God.